Let us pray. Neighboring God, may we truly hear your great commandment to love our neighbor, and may we remember to live this commandment every day in the manner of Christ Jesus. Amen. Now, in Dorothy Dawson's reading of the Gospel of Matthew today, we heard Jesus telling us to love our neighbor. Yet this commandment kind of begs the question, who is our neighbor? Is it the person whose home or townhouse is next to ours? Or whose apartment with whom we share a wall? Or a ceiling or a floor? Maybe. But I say it goes farther than that. A neighbor is the person next to us or near to us at any given moment. Near to us at a restaurant. Next to us on the bus. In the doctor's office. On the plane. Next to us right here, right now. Now, I stumbled across a prime example of neighborliness back in 2011. At that time, along with some of my former Canadian-born congregants of the Vancouver Japanese United Church, where I had served previously, and with the Reverend Yoko Kihara, actually in her van, who was then leading the Japanese-born congregation, we all spent a week touring the BC ghost towns. And at least one of you here from the Kootenays knows exactly what I'm talking about. Now, what are they, you ask? Well, these ghost towns are in the West Kootenays, as they say, and they were the ghost towns built in response to the silver rush. Did you know there was a silver rush in the late 1800s? But when the silver rush ended, those small towns and their buildings were basically, most of them, abandoned. And these ramshackle, old, uninsulated wooden buildings became the cramped quarters for many Japanese-Canadian families. On our tour, we never did see the fields of purpose-built tar paper shacks because they were all torn down right after the war. Anyway, that week we arrived in Nelson to meet up with many Japanese-Canadians, part of the Japanese-Canadian diaspora across Canada. They wanted to see where their family members had been held as prisoners for 4 years. Prisoners, you might ask? Yes, there were guards, there were guns, there was martial law, and these were Canadian citizens. Of course, this whole debacle arose after the Pearl Harbor attack in World War II, and after many of our citizens that I'm just describing were first held in the huge unheated cattle barns of Hastings Park, which is now the site of our present-day PNE. And then after that, they were herded on trains, not knowing where they were going. Does that sound familiar? Herded onto trains, not knowing where they were going? Sounds a little too familiar to me. Now, one of the stops on that ghost town tour bus was to the Dukobor Discovery Center in Castlegar. And while I found it really interesting, I could not quite fathom why we were there. We were spending the whole day there. There were towns to get to and interpretive centers and museums and Japanese gardens to see. And then I found out why we were there. And you can read about this in the book by the Right Honorable Adrian Clarkson, the former Governor General of Canada, called Room for All of Us. You see, in 1942 in the Kootenays, when Japanese Canadians were first, when they arrived living in tents, because except for those shoved into the wooden ramshackle buildings, unheated buildings, those that were in tents, if you can believe it, in the middle of winter, and the snow was very deep that year. And the white people of the towns refused to sell the prisoners any food. They were required to feed themselves. But the Doukhobors brought in food, truckloads of food, and they extended credit to those who had lost everything. And at that time, Adrian Clarkson noted, the Japanese prisoners were actually on the verge of starvation. Now, those Doukhobors knew how to be a neighbor. So that's why we were gathered at the Doukhobor Center, to give thanks for being a good neighbor. Also, they were lifesavers. And I'll just conclude as we listen to the words of the great philosopher Martin Buber, when he was asked, where is God? He said, God is found in between people. God is in our neighbor. So let us be conscious of that in the person behind us, in front of us, beside us, and wherever we go. It's not always easy, but it's our duty to try. And as we strive to love one another, let us make sure that we remember that we are the gift of God and that we are also to love ourselves. Let us pray. Holy and loving God, may we love our neighbor, friends and strangers alike, old and young, all in the name of the holiest of our neighbors, Jesus Christ. Amen.